7:14 now. I don't know much about septic tanks or sewage systems because everywhere I've always lived, it's gone directly into the city drain or whatever you call it thing. I don't know much about it. But Jeff Corbin, the St. Tammany Parish Council member, joins us now to talk about the problem they're having in St. Tammany Parish. How you doing, Jeff?
Good morning, Tommy. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Thanks for taking the time. For people that don't know, because, and I'm not being silly about this, I think a lot of people that have never dealt with it don't quite understand how a septic tank works. And explain, if you will, before we get into what it is that you're looking to do, how a septic system works and how many people in St. Tammany Parish have that system.
Well, let's start with how many. In St. Tammany Parish, we have over 36,000 individual septic treatment systems. And some of those are just old septic tank systems, the typical ones that were used years ago, as well as aerobic treatment units, which have pump air and stimulate the effluent in order to go treat that sewage before it gets out into a ditch. Unfortunately, as we transition from a rural parish to a more suburban parish, a lot of these old systems were put in place. In fact, in my home, I actually have a individual treatment system I have on my property that empties into the ditch. And I first learned about this issue and how significant it was after I had been elected to office but had not yet been installed into office, and set through a presentation by Tim Brown and Reichert Toledano, one of the former council members, and they explained what's going on and how we're getting untreated and undertreated sewage is being put into our ditches, and then it's making its way down into our waterways in St. Tammany Parish and ultimately into Lake Pontchartrain.
And I don't want to gross anybody out here because it's 7:15 in the morning, but Jeff, when it comes to your property, and again, all I know is from living in Algiers and Belchase, where it goes into the sewage system or whatever, and they treat it, and lift stations and all that stuff, but when it comes to a septic tank and what's being discharged into the ditches, I mean, out into a ditch, a wide open ditch, what are you talking about that's being discharged here? Raw sewage or not?
Well, no, it's not raw sewage. The systems, if they're functioning appropriately, are discharging treated sewage. So it's not clear potable water. You don't want to go drink it, but it's not water that contains raw sewage being into the ditches. But what's unfortunate is that there was a pilot program to inspect 1,000 systems in St. Tammany Parish. My district participated in that. And for example, in my district, they inspected 127 systems. Out of those 127, 33 failed. So that was, about a fourth of them, almost 25%. But across the parish that participated, 21% of them failed. So 21% of the systems in our parish in this random test, this pilot program, out of those 21 of those systems that were tested, 1,000 systems that were tested, 21.5% failed. So they were putting either raw or undertreated sewage into our ditches.
So,
and that's bad for a variety of reasons.
So that is raw sewage is what you're talking about then, in that case, for the ones that failed.
Not all the ones that failed. Some of them failed and they were actually not functioning at all. Some of them failed and they were partially functioning, so you're getting undertreated sewage put into the ditches. I mean, like in where you lived, that you get collected into a sewage system, you never see it. Mm-hmm. It's getting treated in a massive system, like a regional treatment system, before it's discharged in the waterways. And so they're under a lot of requirements to have that discharge inspected and tested to make sure that a utility is not discharging raw or undertreated sewage. But in individual homes, that same test program is pretty hard to go track 36,000 different systems throughout the parish.
You are an engineer, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Tell me,
I'm
if you will,
engineer.
Be nice about it, because again, it's early in the morning. But for us city slickers, explain how a septic tank works, because I really don't understand it. Does everything, when you take a shower, does all of that go in the septic tank? Because it seems like it would get pretty full pretty quick.
Yes, it does. What happens is, in a treatment system, the effluent coming out of your home is all collected in your, goes down your drain from your washing machine, from your shower, from your sink, and from your toilets. Mm-hmm. And it all flows and gets collected into one line, and that goes into your treatment unit. When it gets in that treatment unit, it sits, and there's some baffles in that treatment unit. There's a there's some baffles in there that allow the sludge or any of the particulate matter to fall to the bottom, and there's an aerator that pumps air into there so that, that it gradually degrades with any of the solids that might be in there. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is there's a line off the top, and the line off the top is your essentially your treated water that comes out of the top of that system and then flows into your drainage ditch. So the bad stuff falls to the bottom, aerobic bacteria attack it and degrade it and you know, essentially eat it up, if you will. And that's why you get treated water coming out. Again, it's not potable water, you don't want to drink it, but it's water that's acceptable to discharge.
How big is a septic tank? I'm just curious, how many gallons does it hold?
I really don't know how many gallons it holds. I can think that I've seen mine when this inspection program came. I actually volunteered because I had mine inspected for the better part of 10 years. Hadn't really thought about it. And so I went out, they came out and inspected mine. Fortunately, mine was fully functional. But when I looked down in it, when they opened the tops up, I want to say it's probably 3 foot by 8 foot, 6 to 8 feet by probably 4 or 5 feet deep. So if you can kind of get the sense of what that volume is.
Right.
And there's a couple different chambers in there that the water flows from one chamber to the next chamber, and it's gradually getting processed as it moves along. And then again, the effluent comes out of the top. And
so how often do you have to have that serviced? Do you have to have it serviced or not?
Well, you do have to have it serviced. And the program that we're going to put in place in St. Tammany is going to allow people to get theirs inspected for free.
Well, let me talk about that when we come back. Jeff, you got found a perfect stopping point for us. We got to look at traffic, and we'll talk about the system that you want to put into place, which is why you came on. But for a lot of us that don't understand how septic tanks work, I appreciate Septic Tank 101 since you are an engineer. 720 traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Corbin, St. Tammany Parish Council member. And what we're about to talk about, an ordinance that he and his fellow council member Impostato are talking about, I don't know who could be against this other than those who have malfunctioning septic tank systems. And if that's the case, well, you don't have the right to pollute the waters, right? So go ahead and tell me about it, Jeff.
Yeah, Tommy, we have a current inspection program, and we inspect about 2,000 systems a year today. Unfortunately, the system is tied when there's a power transfer on the property. And so, like, a lot of rental properties are going to be inspected more frequently. Mm-hmm. As I was mentioning, my property, I hadn't had mine inspected in many years until I heard about this program. And during the pilot program, they came out and inspected mine. And so the what this will allow us to go do is inspect every system in St. Tammany Parish. It's free. The Councilman Joe Impostato, who worked on this and is really helping lead the charge on this effort, was able to work with our mosquito abatement district to get a $500,000 contribution over a three-year period to pay the upfront fee. So there's no fee for the inspection. Once the inspection takes place, then people will be certified for 3 years for their system. Now, why 3 years? Well, some of the data indicates that every 3 years is a good cycle to go test. But, for example, in my system, when it got inspected, I had inspected it for about 10 years. It was working fine. I didn't need any major changes to it. But that's not the way it is in all systems, because systems are demand-based. My wife and I raised 3 kids in our house, and so obviously raising 3 kids, there was a lot more demand on our system when they were here than they are now, and they haven't lived with us for almost 15 years. So obviously our system is operating at a very low demand compared to if we still had 3 or 4 or more kids living in our house and living with us. And so the fact that this is for free, the inspection is for free, will help improve our waterways. We'll get the systems upgraded, identify what the problems are. Typically, they need to be pumped out, or an aerator's not working, or there's a structural issue. And we've also got a grant program to complement this for people that can't afford. Let's say, for example, you had an inspection and you find you got a structural issue, some kind of tank failure, and you need a complete replacement. We have a grant program to go help people go pay the cost of getting their system replaced. So this is not punitive. It's not trying to go identify people that have failed and then go hold them accountable and impose fines on them. The purpose of this is to inspect the systems we have in our parish, make sure that our waterways are clean and clear. And one of the additional benefits, besides not having smelly water in the ditch when you walk through your neighborhood, is a ditch that's contaminated with fecal matter of any kind is a harbor of mosquitoes, which transmit West Nile. So there's a variety of benefits. The biggest one is obviously our waterways. Most of the waterways, the bayous and streams in St. Tammany, are impaired today at different levels. There's reports available that can list out every location on the waterways that are impaired. And by going and addressing this at the source, we will not have sewage, treated or untreated, making its way into our waterways, which will help the environment in the area we live. People move in St. Tammany because they love the trees and the outdoors and the rural environment, kind of the rural suburban mix. But we need to get our waterways cleaned up, and you got to go start at the source to go make that happen.
Jeff, I admire you, but I don't envy you, because I don't think I could have a job where I had to actually seriously convince people why it was bad to put raw sewage in the water, in the public waterways. I don't think I could do that. But real quick, I was just thinking, as St. Tammany Parish continues to grow, is there any way any kind of subsurface drainage, like in other municipalities, could ever be put in? That would have to be prohibitively expensive, as big as the parish is, right?
Well, it is. It would be expensive. I know there were some plans before Katrina to go make some efforts in that direction, and then Katrina hit, and kind of all bets were off. In fact, my neighborhood was on a planned program to go implement subsurface. But there is a grant program that's being used to go put subsurface in one area, and we'd like to gradually, over the long term, get all these systems transitioned. Most systems transition where you're in a suburban kind of environment, you got a reasonable density of homes, to go transition those to regional systems.
Because not only do you have the infrastructure, but you have lift stations and you got sewage treatment plants, right?
That's exactly right. So you'd want to have those regional systems. We have neighborhood systems now. New subdivisions of any consequence are not being built without treatment of being available to them. Mm-hmm. But this will give us an opportunity to first start addressing what we have, and then over a longer term, we need have a longer and broader plan, as you mentioned, to gradually go get all of our systems, or at least most of them, onto subsurface utility-like sewage treatment.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time. Jeff Corbin, St. Tammany Parish Council Member. Again, if I have to explain to you why it's not good to put raw sewage in open water, I don't know what to tell you. We'll talk to Steve Geller with his WWL sports director about the Saints. We come back right now. Time for WWL First News. All right, 7:44, 16 till 8. Drew Brees could be a special guest today from 5:30 to 6 on Sports Talk. They'll get Drew's take on Saints football, quarterback battle, head coach Kellen Moore, and the team's new strategy, plus, of course, NOLA Pickle Fest, which is Drew's annual pickleball tournament. Steve Geller, our sports director, joins us now, who, as we said earlier, is going to be at the Treasure Chest this evening from 4 till 7. How you doing, Steve?
Doing great, Tommy. Like you mentioned, Treasure Chest back there this year with Mike Dettillier, and having a great show to start things out. You mentioned Drew Brees, Deuce McAllister, Tulane football coach John Summerall joining us, also Tim Brando, Fox Sports commentator. So hell of a lineup for the day one start at Treasure Chest. And we got preseason games starting this evening. Mm-hmm. So the next 4 days, we've got football action. Hallelujah.
Just be careful with Mike. I asked him for a piece of gum. Come to find out, it wasn't juicy fruit. Anyway, let's talk about the quarterback situation, because here's my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you go about determining a starter, because I was talking to Deuce about this the other day, because you want to give the guy a chance with the number ones, but then a lot of playing quarterback is about what kind of looks you're seeing, and you're not going to see a lot of different looks when it comes to preseason from the opposing defense. So, man, how hard is it going to be for Kellen Moore to pick a starter here?
No, you're right there. You know, preseason offenses and defenses are going to be very vanilla. Hopefully, though, you're going to be running the basics out there, and we'll see how that interaction is between, I think it's safe to say, Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck is going to be your starter. Jake Haener definitely seems more as a backup kind of role. He's been good at camp, but if you just take note of all the reps he's been getting, he's mostly been getting third team or second team reps, not really rolling with the ones as much. So Spencer definitely has the edge to me, which has looked better at training camp so far. We'll see what happens now in game action. But as you mentioned, that fact of, you're not going to see, all these different, this offensive genius mind that we hear of Coach Kellen Moore is not going to be on display against the Chargers. And I'm curious to see how much of the starting offensive line gets run in this game as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Eric McCoy, your starting center, is going to play, but I would imagine probably the other guys, because you're adjusting to a rookie on the offensive line and Banks. Trevor Penning switching to guard, and, you know, Fuaga is moving back to right tackle after playing left tackle last year. So that's curious to me. And the running back, there's a lot of questions with this squad for sure. But just want to see a cohesive unit out there. Who's got the best command of this offense? And definitely not turning the football over is going to be key as well for the QB competition.
Yeah, because you think you know who your guy is, but then when the other defense starts throwing all of these looks at him, maybe you don't have your guy. Maybe what made sense in preseason doesn't make sense during the regular season, right?
No, and what we've seen at training camp so far, this Saints defense, I hope, looks good against the Chargers, because they have been causing a ton of pressure and problems for whoever's at quarterback. You know, you see a guy scrambling around a lot, being forced to throw off their marks, and that's something that last year with the defensive unit, at least, that the run stopping was a huge question, and has been able to quell the black and gold run game so far. So interested to see how things translate. Is it just that the defense has been, you know, this big turnaround with Brandon Staley, now the defensive coordinator, or are we in big trouble on offense this year? We shall see.
When it comes to stopping a run, how likely are we to see Devon Godshaw in preseason?
I think you'll see a little bit, definitely, maybe one or two series. He's a proven guy that's been around in the NFL. That, to me, Tommy, has been one of the biggest additions for this Saints team, and he's a big dude, too. Mm-hmm. So that presence in the middle as this big space eater was something that was not prevalent last year. You know, between Colin Saunders and Shepard, the run defense up the gut was just so weak. And, you know, you averaged giving up, I think it was 4.9 yards a carry, second worst in the NFL. You're not going to cut it. You're killing your team that way. So shoring up that run defense definitely was one of the prime focuses for me going into this year. And the Chargers have a heck of a running back stable, so we'll see how they stand up against that. But they've been doing their job against Alvin Kamara and co, so we're hopeful going into this matchup.
Yeah, you're not the first guy to talk about how big Devon Godshaw is, and you're not a small man. You're a big guy, and that's it's a locker room full of giants, but yet, even among that locker room full of giants, he stands out?
Oh, for sure. Just a massive, not just tall, but also wide, you know, a wide body.
Yeah.
And the players, a lot of them have just talked about this guy's strength and how, you know, much he's able to move the person in front of him. I think it was one of the, like I said, one of the most key additions that this Saints squad got this year, considering how lacking they were in that department we saw last season.
6'3", 311, and he ain't fat.
Right. That's some prime beef right there, you could say.
That's the best way to put it, I think. 6'3", 311, and there's not a lot of fat on him, so that's a big man. 7:50, we'll pick it up here. We come back 10 till 8, talking to Steve Geller, sports director. There'll be a treasure chest tonight starting at 4 o'clock. Right now, traffic, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to sports director Steve Geller about the Saints taking on the Chargers Sunday. Of course, we got all the action for you here. Pre-game coverage starts at 11 o'clock. I was just looking at some video of Devon Godshaw trying a field goal and not doing too well in many. But let me tell you something, and I know Buddy D is in heaven calling me a squirrel right now, but having done it, kicking the football straight on is not that hard to do, and these are extremely talented athletes. So I often thought it would be best to just get one of these extremely talented athletes in case the kicker gets hurt, because you never know. And just let him, you know, be able to kick a 35-yard field goal. It wouldn't be that, because these are athletes. You understand what I'm saying, Steve? These guys have superb hand-eye coordination.
Man, like you mentioned, he's done it before, and the fact that you never know. So, you know, yeah. God forbid, you know, we don't want to see anything happen to Groupie, but just in case, who knows, you might see Godshaw coming in for an extra point.
And even the straight-on thing as opposed to the soccer style, I know that sounds old school, but it is not that difficult. And I always thought, just in case, why don't you have a backup, just in case? What can it hurt? Let's talk about backfield, Saints defensive backfield. What have you been seeing?
Yeah, the secondary is going to be interesting to watch. The cornerback group, Alante Taylor, we know is the alpha dog of this group now. No more Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo in the group. And he seems to be I would say adjusting to Brandon Staley's scheme. He wants to be in that star role.
Why the hesitation?
Well, because the one thing that I would say has been a negative for Alante, we've seen two or three balls hit his hands and they've been dropped. And those interceptions are so key, just because you can sway the game and the momentum of things. And we know the Saints are considered, you know, one of the lower teams in the NFL, and those kind of plays could help sway a game and give you a victory. Alante just want to see more sure hands. The drops that have been sure interceptions are a concern right now. Other than that, I think he's played great. You look at the safety group, which I didn't think was going to be such a strength going into this year, especially when you see Tyrann Mathieu retires and you're like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. But with Justin Reed, who was signed in free agency, and this addition of Julian Blackmon, those two kind of remind me of old school Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram as far as how they're gelling with one another. Mm-hmm. Very playful, a lot of fun, and hoping that translates onto the field. That's a group that has experience in the NFL. And like I said, I thought safety was a concern, and I'm not so worried about that now going into the year. I do think the corner group, though, there's some questions behind Alante Taylor. Kool-Aid McKinstry has been wonderful. We'll see what he ends up doing in the preseason, if he can carry his hot start. He's been a guy that has been picking the ball off. And then the rookie in Quincy Riley, can he be that third guy, or does this team kind of need to scour the waiver wire once other teams release players to add another corner? I do think they still need another veteran body back there.
So going in, the starting corners would be Kool-Aid and Alante Taylor?
Yeah, right now that's a question, because Alante is your slot guy. So on the outside, it's feeling like Kool-Aid and Quincy.
Mm. When so much of that is, like you talk about Kellen Moore, Brandon Staley, a new defense, you don't want to get confused. You don't want to get confused. That's when trouble happens. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Have a good time at Treasure Chest this afternoon.
Will do. Thanks, Tommy.
We'll be listening. Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. Another day, another data breach. New app was hacked, and a lot of personal information was leaked. It's the T app, and we'll talk about it when we come back on WWL.